podcast is brought to you by the good people over at Gamefly. With over 9,000 titles for the PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, Nintendo Switch, Wii, and other consoles, there's no better time for gamers to make the most of their systems by using Gamefly to play all the new and classic games for as little as 32 cents a day. To start your 30-day free trial, head on over to cinemageekly.com/gamefly or click the support us link in the show notes for this episode.
Listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
The message is this.
Oh my God! Vanguard 1 is being destroyed.
Jericho's lost his mind.
Well, like you said, Tony, he speaks drone.
Yeah.
That's another form of Carney, I think.
I guess so.
I don't think Vanguard 1 is going to be speaking much anymore.
That's a symbolic of a message, sending it back to the elite.
Very well said, JR. Very well said.
That's all this is. They're beating up an inanimate object.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster-ass nigga plays his cards right. A real gangster-ass nigga never runs his fucking mouth, cause real gangster-ass niggas don't start fights. And niggas always got a hot cap, showing on his boys how he shot him. But real gangster-ass niggas don't flex nuts, cause real gangster-ass niggas know they got him. And everything's cool.
It's a brand new episode of the Elite, Cinema Geekly's AEW podcast. It is Anthony Lewis along with Nick Montez, and we're here to talk more AEW Dynamite on TNT. Now, I'm going to rewind a little bit to last week's podcast, sir, where I said, think I might check out that big episode of AEW Dark that they were pushing. I did not watch that episode.
Me neither.
I feel bad. I was keeping up with it, but I have been so busy lately. There's so much going on in my life right now. There's just no time for AEW Dark. So, weirdly enough, though, when they said a big episode, I thought we're talking about big matches, right? That is not what happened. There was just a ton of matches. Now, we can presume that the big stars went over in these matches. So, are you ready for this rundown of contests that happened on AEW Dark? Available now on the AEW YouTube channel, Nick.
Lay it down on me. Lay it down.
Colt Cabana and Sean Dean. Presumably Cabana won. The team of Mike Reed and Ryan Rembrandt versus Jurassic Express. Presumably Jurassic Express won.
And I really want Rembrandt to win.
Musa and Lee Johnson versus Private Party. Presumably Private Party won. John Cruz versus the number 10 of the Dark Order. Alan Angels and Ray Phoenix. Danny Jordan and Chris Statlander. Jason Cade and Orange Cassidy. Britt Baker versus Skylar Moore. And finally in the main event, Jimmy Havoc versus Luther. They finally did the Jimmy Havoc Luther match. I've only seen one clip from this match, and it was Luther giving Jimmy Havoc a hip toss onto an open chair, and Jimmy did the flip bump onto the top of the chair. And it looked pretty gnarly. So, Grapple gave the highest score to Jimmy Havoc and Luther, just barely, 2.84 stars. Coming in second place, though, Alan Angels and Ray Phoenix at 2.78 stars.
That doesn't surprise me. Ray Phoenix is amazing.
He is amazing. As we will find out a little bit later on this show, for the one time he appears. It may have been the best thing on the show, actually. Well, let me just say this before we hop into this episode of Dynamite, which is episode number 32 of AEW Dynamite on TNT. I don't know what it was about this episode, man, but I just wasn't feeling it this week. It wasn't like it was bad. I didn't see anything that was like awful that wasn't designed to be, you know, like a squash. Like anything that wasn't a squash wasn't awful or bad or anything, but I don't know what it was this week, man. I just was not feeling it at all.
So what you're saying is that we're going to expect possibly some low scores from you, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I gave anything. Well, let's just save it. We'll see where things end up when we talk about it. So let's open the show. All right. Properly. Lance Archer, Jake Roberts, they come out for a promo. Jake Roberts says that he has been asked to apologize for what he did to Brandi Rhodes last week, and says that when Brandi kisses his ass, that's when he'll apologize. He then goes on a misogynistic rant straight out of the 1980s or 1990s about how women are good for cooking and looking good and all that other stuff. And when the man wants to be pleased, women are good for that as well. He also said something just super weird, essentially saying that watching Lance Archer kill people makes him horny, I guess.
It gives him a boner.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, whatever floats your boat. It's 2020, my friend. Cody Rhodes shows up in a truck. He then gingerly knocks over some pipes and shit. But then they start brawling. He gets out of this truck. They start fighting. They brawl all over the place. And eventually they brawl into the ring. Cody escapes the blackout. And this sort of ends in a standoff, sort of. Neither man able to take the other down. But that was how we opened up the show. What did you think of the opening promo and Stone Cold Cody Rhodes?
it didn't blow me away. Much like you, I felt like I wasn't super into parts of this show, but there were some things I really did like. I will say that now I have the stupid visual in my head of Jake Roberts, whenever he invites a female friend over, put my Lance Hoyt VHS in the in the player before we get to go.
It's like I wanted to do the Jake Roberts voice, but I can't. I think I'd have to smoke about 5,000 cigarettes and then try it, maybe. But it's, God, yeah, just put on that Lance Archer tape, babe. Shit. No, thank you. What an unappealing visual as well. And Jake in real life seems to have turned his life around a lot, and kudos to him, but man, does he just look like the creepiest, shadiest character. Like, damn it, you know that guy's seen a few things. And done a few things. So whenever he talks about this sort of shit, it's really unnerving. Anyway, on to something completely different. The Jurassic Express versus Best Friends. That's the opening tag match, which begins with a friendly display of grappling. Luchasaurus eventually gets in, uses his size to his favor. Double team attempt by the Best Friends backfire, but they manage to recover and wipe out Luchasaurus on the floor. Jungle Boy hits his big dive, and the Jurassic Express gains control through a commercial break. At some point, when the match returns, Orange Cassidy wants to get involved into this match, right? The Best Friends are in trouble. Orange Cassidy wants to get in. And then I wrote, Rey Fénix then literally flies into the screen like Bruce Lee and kills Orange Cassidy. Like, was I imagining that? Or did Rey Fénix just come from off frame with like a flying kick? I think that's what happened.
I believe you're correct. Yeah. He just kind of showed up out of nowhere.
Bam. I mean, and when I say this, I don't mean I saw him coming out of frame running. I mean, he came out of frame already in the air. It was crazy. Well, I think that they did this because these men are involved in the casino ladder match that is happening at Double or Nothing. They have announced some people off of TV. Orange Cassidy is one of these people. Rey Fénix is one of these people. That match could actually be pretty incredible now that I think about it. And they talk a little bit more about it later on. Well, while all this craziness is happening, MJF, who is at ringside, decides he's going to hit Jungle Boy because they have a match at Double or Nothing as well. And then Chuck Taylor hits the Awful Waffle on Jungle Boy to get the win. And afterwards, Wardlow beat up Marco Stunt. And I wrote at the time, for some reason. But the reason would become clear a little bit later in the show. What did you think of the opener?
I thought it was an excellent tag team match. I first of all want to give props to Orange Cassidy with his sweet denim mask he was rocking.
Yeah, got to be safe out there. Sure.
You do. I also noticed while we're on the subject of clothing that Colt Cabana was rocking a Hatchet Man tank top.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that. Yes. He was in full Juggalo getup for sure.
I just find me to think that he was JCW champion at one time. It's ridiculous.
Officer Colt Cabana, right?
Yeah, and he would feud with the Weed Man.
Yes, the Weed Man.
All the feud. One thing about this match that I definitely want to see more of in the future, I want to see Jungle Boy and Chucky have a one-on-one match because they had insane chemistry. Mm-hmm. I thought that was my favorite thing in the whole match, with those two going at it.
Yep.
I gave this one 2.75 stars. I liked it quite a bit. It wasn't quite my favorite match on the card, but it was up there. It was great.
We landed in the same exact spot here. I really liked the match. I thought the teams worked really well together. It was a little clusterfucky there near the end with all the stuff happening. I also landed 2.75 stars, which Grapple liked it more than we did. 2.96, almost a full 3 from the fine users over on the Grapple app, available on iOS and Android devices.
I also want to say, prior to this match, they did a little promo for the AEW tag team division to kind of just be like, hey, you remember these guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're coming back now that we're going at full strength again.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but we have tag teams.
Right, like, this is obviously the start of their short build to, like, we eventually going to have a title match here soon because Hangman Page has been gone for so long.
Well, I mean, Jericho touches on him later, and if what he said is true, maybe we'll never see him again.
maybe.
In fact, the last time I saw anything about Hangman Page, it was on Twitter, and he was concerned that he had to catch and kill a turtle in order to eat to survive. So, you know, he's living a rough life out there in the woods. John Moxley shows up to the building. He's mad, mostly because Brody Lee stole the AEW championship from him last week, and he wants his belt back. Four-way match, Penelope Ford, Chris Statlander, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida. They brawled at, I don't know, Nick, a million miles an hour here.
Mm-hmm.
They just were just hitting, kicking, throwing, flying, just a ton of shit really fast early on. And this happened like all the way through a break. We finally get something that I was able to piece together out of this. There is a Tower of Doom spot and then a less impressive follow-up by Penelope Ford and Chris Statlander, mostly because Chris lost her grip on Penelope Ford, I think. Britt broke up the Big Bang Theory attempt, managed to score a near fall, hit a Canadian Destroyer on Statlander. That looked pretty good. Britt Baker then takes a handspring cutter from Penelope Ford. Statlander hits this great spinning Michinoku driver on Britt Baker for a 2. Shida hits the Falcon Arrow on Penelope Ford, but that gets broken up by Statlander. And then Penelope hits another mistimed move here. This was a Poison Rana attempt that would have looked great if it was synced up properly, but it was not synced up properly and didn't look so hot. Shida then hits her big knee for the win. She is still the number one ranked contender in the women's division. What did you think of the four-way?
I like this match a lot. This was almost my favorite thing, except there's one more match later on that I really got into. But I thought all of them showed some great skill. I will admit that I noted the awkward moment between Statlander and Bell before when she was trying to body slam her.
Yes.
I loved the opening with Britt hitting that awesome sling blade and just going for those desperate lockjaw attempts right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, create a sense of urgency, and I really dug it. And I just kept noting, I'm like, man, Britt's coming a long way. Her Destroyer looked awesome. I think she looked like the best out of this match.
Mm-hmm.
I dug the spot where Ford almost got hit by Kip, or I think she almost hit Kip.
And then made out. Instead. Yes.
I gave this one 2 3/4 stars as well. Okay. I actually liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, this one I struggled with a little bit. There were a couple of the big misses in this one. And at times I thought it looked a little out of control and not in a wild, fun brawl way, but in a maybe somebody might get hurt kind of way. To me, the best thing in this match, Nick, was Tony Schiavone trying to explain away his friendship with Britt Baker. Because Jim Ross kept grilling him on it. And it was tremendous. And he's like, well, I don't know if, you know, she's my friend. It's like, well, you talk to her all the time. He's like, well, yeah, but, you know, it's like she brings you coffee and everything. Like, it was just funny trying to listen to him, like, wiggle his way out of it every week. But it's also she's an asshole to him all the time. So, you know, I don't know if maybe this is just that schoolyard thing that Britt really likes Tony. So she's just constantly mocking him incessantly. But I don't think so. I feel it's a little more mean-spirited than that, Nick. I ended up giving this one just 2 stars. Ooh. So a little lower. Grapple, though, they liked you, sir. They went 2.85.
Awesome.
So they saw more in this than I did. They were right there with you. There was a Pineapple Pete promo that was just cut all to hell.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like where it ended isn't where he ended the promo. And they're like, we just got to cut this down for time. He talked for like 20 minutes. What was there was pretty good. It was a little weird, though, because he's like, you know, I've been Shug D for, you know, whatever, 16 years, something like that. And, you know, it's like at first Jericho was insulting me but then he sort of just like, I just accepted it. And then he kind of turned into like No Way Jose or like, you know what I'm saying? He's just it's a party. Woo. I'm just Pineapple Pete, he says. Well, we got Pineapple Pete cutting this promo. It's so weird. I guess he thought he was going to win or something. We knew this was not going to happen. It is announced that Hikaru Shida will be challenging Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's Championship at the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. And then we get Santana and Ortiz versus Kenny Omega and Damascus Matt Hardy. So Santana and Ortiz jump Kenny right before the bell. Matt comes out and I just wrote, Matt comes out and is crazy. Accurate?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The match gets quickly back into Santana and Ortiz's control until Matt gets tagged in. He gets in it and the faces take the advantage for a while, but eventually get cut off and Kenny worked over through a break for quite some time, actually. Matt finally gets the hot tag, gets in, runs wild, goes for the Twist of Fate, but the pin attempt gets broken up. Then Santana and Ortiz hit a series of successful double teams, go for the Street Sweeper, but it is countered. And in the midst of all of this, a comically injured Sammy Guevara tries to interfere in this match. He's wearing this neck brace. He's walking in the most awkward possible manner. It looks like all of his bones are broken or something the way he's walking. It's so ridiculous. And he gets into the ring and Matt Hardy gives him this ridiculous looking Twist of Fate where he lands right on his head. And then Matt Hardy hits Ortiz with a middle rope Twist of Fate for the win. What did you think of this match, Nick?
I liked it, but and the way you're describing it is making me think, oh, this is a better match than I thought.
Mm.
But for whatever reason, while I was watching this, I was just out of it. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's Hardy and Omega against LAX. That's going to be awesome. And it just did not deliver for me.
Yeah.
There was some great stuff in there, though, and I loved – there's a part on commentary where I think it was Excalibur said something to the effect of, Tiger style is effective.
Yeah.
And JR goes, oh, yeah? Have you ever seen someone beat somebody with it? He's like, no.
No, I have not. Yes. It's very effective, but it doesn't win matches. It wears him down. It wears him down. It was prepping Kenny's back to take the street sweeper.
That's right.
Setting it up.
So, I mean, there was nothing bad here. It's not like there's, you know, any botches or anything really, but I only gave this 2.5. I just wasn't as into it as everything else I've seen.
I liked it. There was, I'm wondering if, because Adam Page isn't here right now, I'm wondering if they're going to do this thing where Kenny sees tag team success with Matt Hardy. And they play this into the divide between Kenny and Hangman, that maybe Hangman starts doubting himself that, I mean, Kenny just started teaming with me and we won matches and then won the titles. And then I couldn't wrestle anymore for a while because of this pandemic thing. So we started teaming with another guy and they were just as successful winning matches. And maybe it's all Kenny and it's not me. Like, maybe he becomes resentful of Kenny or something along those lines. I wonder if they're going to do something like that. Because otherwise, I'm like, why would this makeshift team beat Santana and Ortiz? But they did. Mm-hmm. So I almost gave this match 2.5 stars as well, Nick. But Sammy Guevara being so comically hilarious here, I gave it an extra quarter. And I went 2.75 stars just because of Sammy Guevara. Grapple, though, 3.24.
Wow, they loved it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it, but all right.
I didn't either.
Taz is backstage trying to, and basically trying his hand at talking to Darby Allin again. Taz is really bad at this. He's like, look, I really want to apologize for last week. It's, you know, I just wanted to help you. And you hit that coffin drop and, you know, but Cody used that amateur wrestling. He just got you in a tilt. And, you know, it's like, if you just came to me for help, I could have helped you. And Darby Allin stands up and then awkwardly tells Taz that he placed third in amateur wrestling in the state of Idaho. And he knows what a tilt is, and then walked off. I don't know if I like what they're doing here, but I don't know. What do you think? I don't even know what they're doing here, honestly.
I appreciate that they're trying to give Darby some sort of connection to a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they figure that he's a good mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But I don't think Darby needs that.
No.
I think is so creative and goes so above and beyond with the stuff that he does that he doesn't need anything dragging him down.
I agree.
So if this is ultimately Darby just going to push away from Taz and, you know, he won't be involved, I'm good with it. But if it means Taz is going to be his manager, no.
Well, we backed up that kind of not great segment with another kind of not great segment. Lexi Nair is backstage with Hikaru Shida. Hikaru says she's excited to challenge for the title and that she's going to win. And then Nyla Rose is like, oh, hey, hi, I found something that belongs to you. And then hits her with Hikaru's kendo stick, and she says, I found your kendo stick, bitch, and then walked off. To be fair, the way she delivered this line was kind of so bad it's funny, so I enjoyed it to that degree. And kudos, Hikaru Shida did come out for her match without the stick, so yes, there was at least that continuity going on, but I don't know, this didn't get me excited for their match.
Yeah, I'm not excited for it, mostly because I think Nyla's probably going to run through Shida and keep the title a little while longer. I'd rather see Shida with the belt, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Here's something I did enjoy. MJF versus Lee Johnson. And MJF's first match back post double severe life-threatening career ending injuries. And of course, we're talking about the hangnail and the nicked neck when he caught himself shaving. Somehow survived all of these things, came back to compete against Lee Johnson, a top-tier opponent. And I thought this was a great squash match. So Lee gets in a couple of chops on MJF, who is nonplussed about this. He then slaps the shit out of this guy and then kicks his ass, gives him an apron powerbomb, throws him back into the ring, gives him a butterfly shoulder breaker, locks in the salt of the earth, the arm bar, I think that's a Fujiwara arm bar he locks in, and gets the submission victory. And then post-match, he gets on the microphone, runs down Jungle Boy, says that he needs more tune-up work and notes that Marco Stunt had an open contract backstage, so he signed it, and he will face Marco Stunt next week, which explains why he had Wardlow beat up little Marco Stunt to soften him up for MJF for next week, because he's just the best heel of all time.
Yes.
What did you think of MJF and Lee Johnson?
Man, I'm pretty sure on Instagram today he posted the old one of the five fingers, say the face, and then it cuts to him in that match.
He hit him pretty hard.
Oh, he smacked the hell out of him. Yeah. But yeah, it was a great little showcase for MJF to show that he's one that you don't want to mess with. And I believe they used the whole time to kind of play up the fact that he's basically number one contender since Cody can't challenge for the title.
Yep.
So basically it's what we've suspected. Double or Nothing's just going to give him something to do to get another win. And then assuming by the next pay-per-view, he'll probably be in the title picture. I gave it 1.5 because it was just a squash match, but everything was very well done.
I really like the butterfly shoulder breaker into the arm breaker. I think that's a really good like setup into a finisher. MJF is just such a complete character for me. I couldn't help but give this 2 stars, even though it was a squash. And, you know, because he hit Lee Johnson so hard. Grapple gave this 1.62. I think somewhere in here, I don't know where it happens. Do I take note of it? I do not take note of it. Somewhere in here, they announce that... who is it? Iron Mike Tyson is going to be presenting the TNT Championship to the winner of the Cody Lance Archer match. And they also tell us a little bit about the casino ladder match. So it'll be, it'll essentially be a Money in the Bank Royal Rumble match that anyone can win at any time. So there will be a chip, a casino chip, because, you know, the theme of the show or whatever. Whoever gets that gets an AEW championship match. There will be 9 people in the ladder match. 2 people start out and a new person enters every so often. But they know that the ladder match can end at any time. The first two people have an advantage because they could get it before anybody else comes out. So that's an interesting little twist. And I don't know. What do you think of the new match type?
I mean, it's... Sorry.
It's different.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's going to be a showcase. It's going to be awesome. You're going to put these guys in the ring that all can do cool ladder spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be worth it alone for that. And it's going to give us I'm sure, a Dynamite title shot. That'll give us a really awesome match.
Yep.
I really want to see Orange Cassidy pull his awesome ladder spot where he turns the ladder sideways and tries to climb that way.
Nice.
So I hope that happens because that's actually how I saw him debut back in the GCW days, was in a ladder match with like 8 different people.
Huh.
I think they also make the announcement for the tag title. Well, not tag title, but the number one contenders match on Dynamite this week.
Yeah. Was that for the buy-in? Or was that
for
something
else? Buy-in.
Yeah, was it Best Friends and
Private Party?
Yes, that is correct. And they also announced Britt Baker and Chris Statlander. I guess that's a thing we didn't note at the end of that 4-way match, that Britt Baker kept putting Statlander in Lockjaw after the match was over. So that was like their setup for that match.
She did it sanitized with a glove on.
She did, of course. Well, she's, you know, a doctor. She's a DMD. I don't know if anybody knows that. Pineapple Pete versus Chris Jericho. And he's got the full treatment. The video is Pineapple Pete, everything. Jericho comes out with the entire Inner Circle behind him, which I thought was just a hilarious bad guy move. Like, this guy is a nobody to Chris Jericho. And as the match shows, didn't stand a chance against him. But he still brought out his entire group of friends to have his back, which I thought was a great little heel move. So basically the match begins with Pete out of control. Like he's on fire. He's punching Jericho, whipping him around the ring. And then he goes to the well one too many times and just runs right into the Judas effect and Jericho pins him. One move. That was it. So after the match, which, by the way, I gave 1 star to. What about you, Nick?
I gave it 1.25.
And Grapple went 1.45. So there's that. It was like a one-move match, essentially. After that, Jericho gets on the mic, says the Elite aren't even a thing anymore. Half of their guys aren't even here. Says he heard Hangman Page quit the business and he lives out in the woods somewhere. The Young Bucks are at home pouting. Challenges them to come back and face the Inner Circle one more time in a stadium stampede match at Double or Nothing, which Jericho says is essentially that wild, crazy brawl we saw last week, but with everybody involved, and it'll take place within or throughout the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium. So that's some lunacy. And yes. Then Vanguard 1 flies in, Matt Hardy's drone sidekick. Jericho grabs his tiny Inner Circle shirt from him, says that he had a warrant out for Vanguard's arrest in like 7 states, asks him if the Elite accept the challenge, which Vanguard on their behalf says they do. And then Jericho introduces their, I guess, inanimate member of their team, his Inner Circle baseball bat, which had a name, but I have forgotten what it was. Do you recall?
Yes. I wrote it down. Floyd.
Floyd the baseball bat. And then they destroy the drone with the bat. And I don't know about you, Nick, but to me, this scene was very reminiscent of that very infamous scene from Office Space where they destroy the copy machine. Damn, it feels good to be a gangsta. PC load letter. What the hell is that? That's exactly what this felt like to me. I loved it. What did you think of the post-match promo?
Oh my goodness. And Matt Hardy, just broken Hardy, trying to pick up little pieces. Vanguard 1. Oh. Yes. This was funny. This was hilarious.
Vanguard's corpse strewn upon the ring canvas. Yes.
Oh, it makes me hope that Vanguard 1 is going to be part of the stadium.
And comes back with like armor plating or something. Yes.
Yeah. It's like going to shoot like little bullets at Jericho.
Oh, you know he's going to shoot like fireworks or some shit. That's, yeah.
Right, like some sort of pyrotechnic. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jericho Vanguard feud might be feud of the year. Not going to lie.
In the main event, which ended up, I guess, being kind of a surprising main event, Christopher Daniels and Brody Lee was the main event, and it begins with CD putting up quite the fight against Mr. Brody early on, but he can't keep him down for long. Lee cuts him off, beats on him forever. Daniels eventually makes a comeback, hits Angel's wings, but only gets a 1 count. Hits a standing best moonsault ever, but that only gets a 2. Brody swats him out of the air. Hits him with the big discus lariat for the win. Before we talk about the post-match, what did you make of the main event?
This was my favorite match this week.
Oh, okay.
It's just because I'm a big Daniels mark, I'm sure. Just, mm-hmm. I hated the storyline they ran with last year when he botched, or was that earlier in this year when he botched the moonsault, I think?
No, that was last year. That was late last year.
Last year, okay. I hated that, and I hated him not being a part of the tag team tournament just because I think he's awesome, and he still impresses even as old as he is now.
He had an Arabian moonsault in this match to the floor, yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's impressive, and it gave Brody a really big win, I think.
Yeah.
He beat someone with a lot of, chutzpah, a lot of greatness,
mm-hmm.
and he even kicked out of his move at, not one.
Sure, yep.
He looks like a beast. You know, Daniels just made Brody. Not that he need to be made, but I like that he also came out with the AEW championship around his waist. He's already feeling comfortable with wearing the title.
Yes, his stolen goods, yes.
Oh, yeah. So I gave this one 3 stars. I just thought it was a great match, and it had my attention the whole time. It made me not think about there being no crowd. So yeah. I think that's another thing that I loved about it.
I mean, there's enough people there that they make enough noise that it works.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like a very tiny indie show. That's all. I like the match. Not quite as much as you did, but I enjoyed the match. Daniels did look good for sure. and Brody as well. It dragged a little bit for me, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe my mind was elsewhere, but I thought it was good, but not quite that good. I went 2¾ stars, so just behind you. Grapple gave this one 3.07.
Thanks, Grapple. All right.
They have your back for sure, man. And of course, after the match, John Moxley shows up to get his belt, brawls with a bunch of the creepers, and eventually Brody kind of just chucks one at him for Moxley to destroy so that he and number 10 can escape with the belt. And of course, it'll be Mox and number 10 next week in a match. Presumably, at this point, Mox will get his belt back, but maybe they're going to do the whole he'll get his belt back when he beats Brody Lee, is my feeling, I think, at Double or Nothing. So then he grabs the mic, cuts this promo. He's super pissed. They got to have eyes in the back of their head, that sort of thing. And he wants his title back. What did you think of the ending, Nick?
I didn't think it was anything crazy amazing, but no. Moxley looked like a badass, you know?
Yep.
He went out there and took out everyone. He didn't get overwhelmed for once. So
nope.
He looked great like that, but I did think he looked kind of stupid just staying there in the ring while Cody and one of the other Dark Order members were walking away. I was like, he should have chased him to the back.
Should've,
but that was my other complaint.
He's right there. Yeah, he didn't though. So what do you figure the main event is then for next? Is it John Moxley versus the number 10?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Nothing else was really nuts. I mean, they did announce Orange Cassidy and Rey Fénix, which I am very excited to see.
Yes, that's going to be awesome.
Is that the real main event? Should we just push that as our main event for next week?
Yeah, we'll just pretend nothing that happens after that match matters. All right.
That's what I'm going with, sir. Then that's the end of the podcast, everybody. Now that we've decided what the main event for the show is. So head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Just search for The Elitists. Hit subscribe, and that way you can come back next time and hear us talk about more AEW Dynamite on TNT featuring Nick and I's main event, Orange Cassidy versus Rey Fénix. Now I got the world swinging from my nuts, and damn, it feels good to be a gangster.